Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metal Magdalene with Jet here on Metal Messiah Radio. Tonight we have with us a special guest. We have Mike Ciprari, co-owner of SJC Drums. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thank you.
Now, Mike, before we get into this, you guys just came back from Nam out in sunny California. How was that for you?
Oh, it was amazing, except it wasn't very sunny. It rained the whole time we were there.
Good.
But way better than being 30 degrees in Massachusetts. Yeah, the show was amazing. As always, we don't really expect anything less, but it was always a hectic time for us. We get to drive all of our gear out from out here in Massachusetts all the way to California, so it's always a cluster of getting out there.
But you made it out there safely. You didn't hit any tornadoes or blizzards or anything, so that's good. And all the way back,
yeah.
Too, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, the guys driving home only got stopped once, and that was all good. So
that's not too bad.
We rent a van, and unfortunately, we forgot that it needed a brake controller for our big 20-foot trailer, and we thought we could get away with it, and the cops in Poughkeepsie, New York, stopped us, 2 hours from the border of Massachusetts.
Oh,
home, but,
so close.
They got away with it, and they just kind of sweet-talked their way home to get out of that ticket and having their van stopped on the side of the road.
Not too bad, though, Mike. It could have been a lot worse.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Mike, tell us, how that you guys first started out. Or actually, tell us when you first actually took an interest in drums. How old were you? Like, little kid banging on your parents' pots and pans?
Yeah, I was nine. I was only 9 years old, and I didn't have a musical bone in my body. No one in my family played an instrument or had drums around. I just got drawn to drums. I thought they were cool. I used to see them in, like, the Sears or JCPenney catalog, and I would trace them and be like, man, that'd be cool if I had a drum set of my own. And I got a drum set for Christmas when I was nine.
And that's where it all started, huh?
Yeah.
So tell us now how SJC got started, and what does SJC stand for?
SJC is my brother's initials, Scott James Ciprari, and it really got started just, kind of just really, I guess, fell into our laps, really. Like, it was such a hobby in the beginning. I was only nine, starting to play the drums, and just fell in love with it. I played drums every day, and I got lessons for about 5 years. And just fell in love with music. Like, 311 was putting out records, records back then, and I loved Chad from 311. I thought his drumming was amazing, and I wanted to be like him. So I just played drums as much as I could, and my brother played the saxophone, and he was learning, like, the keyboard and stuff like that in school in the music program, and I think he wanted to play the drums, and sibling rivalry prevailed, and I said, you're not touching my drums, so, get a drum set of your own. But he ended up pulling a really old drum set from our cousin's attic, and it was, it looked awful. It was just all worn and beaten, so he rewrapped it and spray-painted the hardware and just kind of made it look cool, so he felt cool playing it, and I think, that is kind of what where our inspiration to make drums look cool was born. I could go on forever. So the shortened version is that, I played the drums, he got a kid after, fell in love with, making it look cool. I was inspired by all the companies out there at the time when I was an early teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian from No Doubt and Travis Barker and Chad Sexton. There wasn't too many custom companies out there, but, DW Drums and all the big companies I just thought it was so cool, like the marketing and design that can go into it. And my brother got way more interested in, the technology behind it, how to cut a bearing edge and what different woods did different things to the sound. So, back then, like the yin and yang of my brother and I, him being the craftsman and me being kind of like the thinker, and thinking up ideas and how we can get the company going was really how it was founded.
I mean, and where do you just come up with this technology? Where you're like all over the internet Googling shit and YouTubing stuff and just doing research that way? I mean, how did you go?
Yeah, I mean, same as the same thing where neither of us really had a musical bone in our body when we were kids. Like, neither of us were very, neither of us were craftsmen. I'm not a craftsman even to this day. I'd cut my finger off if I was going to go back there and make some of the stuff. But he, my brother just really nerded out and started just Googling stuff and finding router tables and making. I mean, we made a lot of our own tools.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would get us like a table saw for Christmas, and my brother would go find a drill press at a flea market or something like
sure.
that. And just it was all trial and error for the first many years, which I feel really fortunate that we had that time to really kind of mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
We were only kids, and nobody was really relying on us to make a perfect drum. We had so many years to just kind of trial and error and just mess stuff up and learn from our mistakes.
And it was nice that your family was supportive of you. I mean, like you said, your dad was out there helping you buy drill presses and...
Oh, yeah. I mean, without them, we wouldn't be here. Like, you know, I wouldn't have fell in love with drums and actually been able to live that dream of playing the drums if they didn't get me a kit for Christmas. For the first 6 years of the company, my parents' basement where my brother and I lived was taken up by R2 bands. We practiced down there, so my brother took up a corner of my grandmother's basement, who actually lived next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandma was letting us make drums in her basement. My mom was packing and shipping all of our drums. My dad
wow.
was supporting us by, giving me business advice and helping us wherever we needed it. It was definitely like as natural and organic of like a beginning as you can want. And it was all family-based and them just supporting the heck out of us, letting us do it.
That's awesome. And now how big is your company now?
Now we've got a staff of about 13 employees running around the shop, building drums day in and day out. In the early days, we'd make a few drum sets a year, and now we're making, 10 to 15 kits per week.
Oh.
We're in a 15,000-square-foot warehouse. We're worldwide with dealers and backline and bands touring with our drums every single day, playing on TV. It's a whirlwind, and it feels like, I'm 27 now, and I feel like, I'm looking back, and I'm like, man, it feels like I was 15 years old last week. There's just been so much stuff that has happened, and we've just gone through so many growing pains, and we've gone through so many experiences just making drums, which is just crazy to me.
And even when you guys do, like, your artwork and stuff, do you have different artists? I mean, you don't just have one in-house artist, do you?
No, we have, for our graphics, like, as far as social media stuff, we've got a graphics guy in-house who does all that, but the artwork on the drums is really, most of us at the shop are all tattooed, so we're into art,
sure.
And, like, I've got all this crazy art in my house and everything, and so I love art and making things look cool and making it unique. So, similar to getting a tattoo, you choose which artist that you want to
mm-hmm.
work on your body. We have a whole array of artists all over the world who either wood burn or paint with acrylics or can airbrush or can do 3D stuff with magazines and different compositions like that. We've got so many people that we admire their work that we allow our customers to go, I really like Jay Weinberg's artwork. I want him to paint my snare drum. So we outsource it to him, and he'll paint it the way the customer wants, and then we'll finish up the drum. Which no company has ever really done, and we're just always trying to find ways to expand thinking outside the box and being creative.
Who was the first artist that you actually made drums for?
It seems it gets kind of foggy in my brain. I mean, we had a bunch of local bands. We had Andrew Cook, who played in the Receiving and the Sirens way back in the day, who's now the drummer of A Rocket to the Moon. He was one of the first supporters. We had friends, my friend Tony Roberto, who played in this little band called Duck Hunt,
mm-hmm.
Dustin, who was in the band Monty's Fan Club, who turned into Monty R.I.,
mm-hmm.
And then we started, hitting up, my favorite band at the time was Strike Anywhere. I hit those guys up, and I hit the Aquabats up, because that
uh-huh.
was my brother's favorite band, Streetlight Manifesto, and then Panic at the Disco, and Gym Class Heroes, and All Time Low, and Boys Like Girls got kits from us, and that's when things really started to kind of blow up, because they were on TV and touring.
Right.
And all these bands would see, what the heck is SJC? And that's where the word of mouth and the marketing really started to take place.
And, you mentioned Panic at the Disco. And I remember, because, I'm from right over the border in New Hampshire. So, to me, you're a local company. So, I'm, like, all behind, you guys and any local companies out here. But I can remember when Panic at the Disco picked up SJC. And I remember seeing their video and seeing your drum kit on the video. Complete with logo on there for the world to see on MTV. I mean, what was it like for you to see something like that on TV? Your
that
kit.
That was the first. I mean, it was insane. Like, that was the first taste of of that I had ever gotten. I was like, as a kid, you know, I wanted to be a little rock star and be on TV myself and play drums for a band. And I did it. I never lived out that dream, but I toured with my band and I kind of began doing that. And I was like, you know what? I kind of want to be home, and this is my way to be part of the music industry, and have my hands in it somehow. So to see a drum set that, you know, just then my brother and I had made in our grandma's basement in Dudley, Massachusetts, to be, you know, either in a music video or on like the MTV VMAs in front of a million people, it was insane. I remember sitting on my parents' couch and I was like, I had chills just watching it. I was like, this is the craziest thing. It was definitely insane and very rewarding to put it, you know, that way.
It is, and it was very cool, because I can remember too, and I'm like, look, it's SJC, they're right down the street, you know. We were kind of, you know, because you are kind of like hometown heroes, so to speak. I mean, I know you do stuff with like charities and stuff like that too, and as excited as you are, everybody else is too, I think, in the community. It's a nice community feel to it, you know, and it's just like every community should be this way, you know. It's just
I hear you, and that's the coolest part for us, and like having my family behind us and part of it's really cool. I remember, you know, a few years ago we had Elton John was on the Grammys and he did a duet with Lady Gaga, and we had the drummer, one of our drummers was playing for Lady Gaga, and it was on the Grammys, and I remember watching it with my dad and my grandma, and like both of our phones are blowing up, all our friends are calling us like, holy crap, you know. That's just the coolest thing for us. Like, we're not rock stars and we're not trying to be the guys on TV, but for us to like supply the drums and put our heart and soul into making the drums that are on TV is definitely, you know, amazing for us.
And it's cute too, because you are like little kids. Oh my God, we're on the Grammys.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like we've been doing it so much, and like we're definitely not jaded, but it's, you know, now we're in like the grind of like, making so many drum sets,
sure.
And all the outside world stuff comes in. You know, our bills are crazy because we're a bigger company now, and all the real life big boy stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
For us to still look back and remember that, and still have that sense of pride and like being stoked every time we see a drummer happy, no matter if they're on TV or just playing a little show at a VFW hall, that's still ingrained in us, and that's the best part for us.
And you know, Mike, you build drums for artists from every genre of music. Do you use different woods for different genres to emit different sounds?
Yeah, I mean, it's all the drummer's
pick,
what they want and what they're looking for. You know, we definitely have, you know, pretty much perfected like our craft of building and using birch or maple or mahogany and cutting a different edge for what the drummer wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember making drums for Gym Class Heroes, and that's, you know, Travi, the singer, is like a rapper over a rock band. So we'd make Matt a birch kit with sharper edges so it cut through.
Right.
A lot of drummers, unfortunately, don't know exactly what they want. They just want it to look really cool. they kind of leave it to us. So we definitely go and do the background of the band, see what they're like. And, you know, I remember building a drum set for Converge when we were still in my grandma's basement, and you know, that band's super heavy.
Yep.
We did different edges and different kind of shell thicknesses on his kit, so it definitely cut through. But, yeah, I mean, we can do everything, anything and everything. But like I said, a lot of drummers are more picky about the look of their drum rather than the sound, so it's just up to us to make it sound amazing still.
So it must be a little bit stressful for you, at least the ones where they're like, you know what, you guys do the creative part, you know, go crazy, so at least you don't have to worry too much. But when a drummer's coming to you with specific things, does it get a little stressful? Do you get a little nervous, like, oh shit, I hope this is...
Yeah, every day is the biggest stress. Every day is stressful for us, because, and actually both sides of it, because if they're just giving us creative freedom, well, I'm still stressed. I'm like, man, I hope he likes this drum set he just paid a bunch of money for and has no idea what it's going to look like. And when they want something very particular, you know, if we're shipping it to Japan or wherever, it's like, I don't want them to be bummed on it and us have to, you know, eat the cost of shipping it back or fix it. You know, we want to, you know, hit the nail on the head every single time. So it is stressful, and especially when you get the drummer texting you at 3 a.m. trying to change up the look of it, and you're like, dude, it's already done, or, you know, can you not text me at 3 a.m, I'm trying to sleep. So, it's definitely stressful days making drums. It's pretty crazy.
And how long does it actually take, on average, I'm sure some take longer, some take, you know, shorter, to actually build a kit for a customer?
It's definitely a per case based on what they're getting. If it's like a paint that has to dry and cure, the standard drum set we can build in about a week's time from A to Z. We'll start the drum set on a Monday. We can finish it and ship it on a Friday. But then there's the crazy stuff we'll do, like the way outside the box kind of fabrication that takes some research and development, making sure that it works. And our turnaround time is an example of, we do have a ton of orders, so we're just cranking drums out every single day, and we want them all to be perfect, so there's definitely a waiting list to get your order in queue. So, we're working on lowering that turnaround time to make the drums a little bit quicker and more efficient, but with all the crazy stuff we're doing, it definitely takes time.
Now, what was the most complex kit that you ever built, and who was it for?
We just actually, for the NAMM show that we just did, we just invented some crazy bass drum inside a bass drum.
I saw that.
This Frankenstein kit of a drum set that took us forever to make because we wanted to, we walk a fine line between trying to make drums look really cool, but, actually function.
Right.
Our whole thing is function before fashion. We want our drums to last and work and sound good. But, then we're trying to go outside the box and make them catch people's eye, especially at the NAMM show. We want people to walk by and go, holy shit, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
So that Frankenstein kit we did for NAMM was pretty intense. I can't remember. We've built so many drums that we've done so many. A lot of the ones for Panic at the Disco, they're so far outside the box that, we just have to kind of trial and error it and figure out if it's going to work and actually survive him touring with it.
Right.
So I guess those two would come to mind first.
Has a customer ever come to you with a demand that you couldn't meet yet?
No, I mean, knock on wood, we've always at least found a middle ground, and we'll take it and go, dude, that idea won't work, but it's really cool, so let's try and find a way to make it work.
Right.
For that. The only time we said no is a kid called us, and I feel like it was a joke. He called us and wanted his lugs to light on fire when he hit the drum, and I just, we were like, dude, I'm not going to get sued over burning a venue down because your lugs light on fire.
So. You guys built so many drums. Do you have a personal favorite?
My personal favorite is this kit we built, John from Boys Like Girls. It was this like purple and clear and Coke bottle green like triangle theme acrylic with these big butcher hoops, and the whole thing lit up, and he had like a 28-inch bass drum.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite just because nothing like that really had ever been done before. And that was one of the instances where he just said, make me something cool. And it's kind of a disease I have. I'll think of drums all day, and I just literally saw that drum set in my head, and I was like, let's make this. That's definitely got to be one of my favorites. Just it's got a lot of cool colors and a lot of way crazy stuff that's never been done before.
So what's it like for you, to get this kit made? And I know I've seen a couple of shows where you're like, deliver them to, the people, to see these people's face when they, first see their set. I mean, what comes to mind is when, like, you did the ones for Hanson, and you had the set there all set up for him, and he's just like, he looked like he was afraid to touch them. I mean,
yeah. It's definitely nerve-wracking, and, doing that TV show made it a little bit more awkward, because you got camera guys there, and I'm like, man, I really hope he likes this drum set, because if he doesn't, I'm going to look like an asshole on TV when they edit this thing. It's definitely nerve-wracking, because you have expectations, and, it's Zach Hanson. Like, that dude's been around forever.
Yeah,
he's very
yeah.
particular about what he wants. Or, Ryan Ledger, that going back to a couple of questions before, like, his little alligator theme kit, that was a pain in the ass to make. and Ryan, he's a very picky dude, so, like, it's definitely nerve-wracking, because it comes down to me or whoever's delivering the drum set. Like, you're the person that they're going to tell you they love it or they hate it. And it's like, you got the whole crew that just, spent their whole entire week up until 2 a.m.
Right.
To make that drum set perfect. And if you hate it, like, that's going to bum everybody out. So, thankfully we've never really had an instance where somebody was bummed on it. So it's just, it's nerve-wracking, because it's not like we're making it and just shipping it out to whoever, and we don't care.
Right.
We definitely care, and we want to make sure everybody's happy.
So it must be nice for you when they are happy. You're probably like, phew!
Yeah. Another one down, And I'm already onto the next one, actually. I'm like, all right, what do we got to do when I'm done, when I get home from this, what's next?
Yeah, thinking never, about it all the way home.
Yeah, there's never like a deep breath, and you're like, all right, I'm done for a little bit. It's like you take it home with you, and we all do. We all take, you know, the stress of work home with us. We're always all working and thinking about drums all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Our girlfriends and some of the dudes are married, their wives hate it, but you know, it's drums. So we think about it all the time. It's pretty crazy.
So, Mike, tell us what the future holds in store for your company now.
Right now, we're focusing very hard on, like I said, maximizing our efficiency in the shop because we are getting bigger and there's more bigger expectations of our company. I think everyone roots for the underdog, and then once you get big, you know, quote unquote big, people begin to think you sell out, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're no longer cool, and you're no longer desirable. We're trying to always think, you know, 15 steps ahead, and I'm 5 years ahead into the company, going, here's what I want to be in 2020. you know, designing for NAMM, just continuing making amazing drums and making them better, and thinking of new innovative ideas, lowering our turnaround time. Just still being approachable for kids and just grow the company the way it's been going. You know, we've you know, walk before you run kind of thing, and we're just naturally growing to the point where I feel like we should be. You know, we're opening an office out in Huntington Beach, California. We've got one of our guys actually meeting in 2 weeks, driving out there. We've got an office there for him to do sales and artist relations, so we kind of have the West Coast covered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get more bands, make more drums for cool bands, so more and more people see it, and just slowly build the company at the pace it's been going because it's been working for us. And we've been very able to learn from our mistakes, where we're a small enough company that we're not a big giant, where, you know, big company can't really move in between the lines when the going gets tough, or if something breaks down, they have a major malfunction. Where for us, we're small enough that we can learn from our mistakes and go, all right, dude, don't do that again because it sucked. Let's fix that before we make 30 other drum sets like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just always been the goal for us. And you know, this year more so than ever, is we're really trying to hone in on perfecting everything within the company. So,
right, because at this point now, you more or less got it, you know?
Yeah, we more or less got it, but there's a lot of growing pains and problems.
Sure.
You experience, you don't know that you're going to have to experience it until it comes up. And we're at one of those, you know, growing pain points, like just coming home from NAMM. It was such a great show for us, and so many eyes are on our company. So many people want something and need something from us that we don't want to let them down. So
mm-hmm.
we're at the shop constantly going, how can we improve this even more so that we can, you know, commit and make that in a week if somebody needs it and do the volume that's expected of us. So, it's all good stuff, definitely, but it's, you know, way different than Grandma's Basement or even a year ago before we had this big shop, so we're just trying to not fumble, and we're trying to just stay on top, and I try and look at other companies and learn from their mistakes so we don't make the same ones, and it's tough, but, you know, it's fun and rewarding, so we're gonna keep doing it and keep our head low and just keep crushing it, so.
All right, Mike, well, tell people where they can go learn more about your company, what sites you have out there where they can go check you out.
Yeah, there's this day and age, every single social media website out there. you got Twitter, at SJC Drums, Instagram, SJC Drums, or hashtag SJC Drums, our Facebook, which I still don't even know how to use. There's like four different Facebooks, a page, whatever the heck they are. It's all SJC Drums or SJC Custom Drums, but the main source of information is just our website, sjcdrums.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can see all of our artists, all the drums we've made, our virtual kit designer that we're working on that you'll be able to design your own drum interactively is going to be launched this summer, hopefully. We're like 3 years too late on that. We've been working on it forever to try and make it perfect. And the website is where you can see kind of all those things I just mentioned kind of wrapped into one. You know, you can find our emails on there, and you can hit us up for anything. You know, we always encourage drummers to call us or email us or tweet at us to just ask us anything. We're here to help, and we're here to be involved in them designing their dream and being a part of it. So we try and be as approachable as we can, and you can see all the videos on our website and stuff, too. So that's the one spot I'd recommend to go.
So, Mike, your SJC shop that you have, right, is that also a store? I mean, can people go in there, or is it just a factory, more or less?
Yeah, it's just a factory. I mean, we've got a little showroom that, unfortunately, is kind of turning into all offices as we've grown. We had an awesome showroom a year ago. We moved in, but we've got four more people in the office. So we've made little offices for everybody. But if somebody's local, we'll never turn them away from coming to the shop and kind of meeting the dudes and picking our brain and seeing something in person if they want. But yeah, it is mainly just manufacturing and offices. But if kids want to see it, definitely hit us up and you can come down and we'll make an appointment for you to stop by and check it out and kind of hit some drums if you want to. If you never played an SJC drum and you want to hit them before you commit to anything, want to try them out. We always encourage that and welcome it.
Well, that's cool because that's what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
I'll just call Danielle and say, "Hey, I'm coming down."
Do it up, yeah. Let us know. We're home from NAMM now, or we're there every single day. So just let us know.
All right. Well, it won't be summer because I don't like driving around in snow and stuff. So
yeah.
But that'll give you plenty of time to recover. So Mike, thank you so much for taking the time out and telling us about your company and where we could check you out and listen to you guys again. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and great success with your company. I mean, you have a really good thing going on there, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so much for, having me and talking to me and letting me share the story, and for the people listening, for listening and being a part of it, because without, it's like a band. Without fans and without people supporting it and going to your shows and buying our drums and actually caring, we wouldn't be here to live out our dreams. So, thank you, and for the people listening and for everybody that supported us. It's, I'll say it again, amazing, and it's definitely a dream come true, so thank you.
All right, so hang on the line 1 second. I'm going to get a quick ID from you.
Cool.